Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Next public hearing is public hearing to consider an ordinance authorizing a countywide referendum to be held on a statewide primary August 18th, 2026, as requested by the Escambia County School Board.
I don't take a position on the issue that you're addressing. I take a position on the quality of elections that we hold. School referendums belong on the general ballot. That's where the full community is present.
You know, every once in a while, it just warms my heart. When we've talked about an issue, I have explained it as clearly as I possibly can, and then it comes up in front of the local city council or the county commission, and the public shows up and says all the right things. It doesn't always happen that way, but it's nice when it does. Now, I don't know whether any of these people listen to my show or not, but this is in this place, it was Craig Jones, and Lily Eubanks had spoken before him, and Derek Scott's going to speak after him, and the three of them were brilliant on this subject. This, of course, is the question of putting the ballot referendum on, or the idea on the ballot that you're going to be able to go back to having an elected superintendent of schools in Escambia County, which I have said many times. I have no particularly strong position on. I see the arguments for, I see the arguments against. We contended this very contentiously, and it was a very close vote, and we now have an appointed superintendent. And the school board, at least three members of the school board, it's very important to distinguish, it is three members of the school board, Kevin Adams, Paul Fetzko, and Tom Harrell, have decided that they want to go back to having an elected superintendent. In and of itself, fine. We can vote again. The problem is that they have said we want to have the election on the primary instead of in the general, which means it's going to be incredibly low turnout. It's going to mostly be, primarily be, sorry, couldn't resist, Republicans who are going to be deciding this, which means that it's a certain kind of viewpoint. And even though it affects the whole community, it's going to skew towards Republicans, and that's a problem. It should be at the general election. The Escambia County Commission sent it back to them and said, don't you think it should be at the regular election time? And they did a 3-2 vote again. And Tom Harrell, Paul Fetzko, and Kevin Adams voted to no. We need to do it at the primary. David Williams and Carissa Burgosh voted against. David Williams and Carissa Burgosh were right. Kevin Adams, Paul Fetzko, and Tom Harrell were wrong and immoral. What they're doing is immoral. It is anti-democracy. It is un-American. It's bad. It's wicked. They're trying to game the election to get a certain result. Whether you like that result or not is not the point. It should be done at the general election. And so Craig Jones is going to explain this. And again, these public speakers explain this in detail.
You're considering whether to put it on the primary or the general. There's only 3 months difference, so time is not an issue. If you put the referendum on the primary, you silence approximately half of the parents who would show up. Research shows ballot placement is not just procedural. It determines who gets counted, whose voices matter, and whose do not.
Yes, exactly.
In Florida primaries, independents are conditioned to sit out August elections. Even though they can technically vote on referendums, the habit is built in. To them, primary means partisan, not to me.
Yeah, and that, by the way, it's not that people can't vote in this primary. It's that they won't, because it will be the only thing they show up to vote for. Partially because, for example, in District 3, which is my district, is a Democrat district primarily, this will be the only thing I get. I mean, I'll have other things to vote on in my primary, but, you know, Democrats will have almost nothing to vote on. And independents won't even vote because they won't think they're able to vote. That's why you do it at the general, because you want to get them. If you're going to make a big decision, you should have the widest participation, period.
In Escambia's 2024 primary, just 5% of voters were independents. In the general election, that number quadrupled to 19.3. That's not a rounding error. It represents tens of thousands of people who do show up in the November election, but not August. put a school referendum on the primary, and one in five Escambia voters are silenced.
That's it. And silenced by their own failure, silenced by their own choice. Okay, sure, but you can avoid that problem by putting it in the general election. And the only reason to put it at the primary election is because you think it accomplishes your political skew that's going to get you the result. That's why I say it's anti-democracy, it's anti-American, it is wrong, it's wicked. And listen, I like Kevin Adams, you know, Paul Fetzko. I don't know Tom Harrell all that well, but and man, I hate to be this guy, but honestly, I would vote against all three of them for this one issue only, period, end of story. Everything else that they do that's good is undone by this one brazen, shameless, ridiculous manipulation of the political system. It's as ugly as anything you do in politics. And the explanations that they've given do not add up. The closest thing to an explanation they've given is, well, this will give people who really care about this issue the power to show up and vote for just this issue. Well, if you put it at the general election, then you actually get the people who are affected by the issue will show up and they'll know. It's the only reason to game it for the primary is because you think it accomplishes the end result of getting you the vote that you want. It's really ugly.
Escambia has faced the superintendent question six times in the last 50-plus years. Five times voters chose to keep it elected. Once in 18, did they approve a change, and then by less than 1%. That narrow outcome illustrates the risk of instability. Decisions made by smaller representative electorates do not stick. They invite relitigation. A decision to place the next referendum on the primary guarantees a cycle of division because decision will again be made without the broadest participation. Put a school referendum on a primary ballot, you guarantee the fight won't be over because the entire county didn't get to decide.
Yes, even if they win, they'll win with what looks like ugly, illegitimate means, and then we'll be back to doing this again in a few years, or people will grumble about it because they feel like it was stolen from them instead of appropriately chosen, which is absolutely how I will feel as a voter.
When questions tied directly to schools are placed on the primary ballots, the outcome is shaped by smaller, older, wider, more partisan electorate. That's not neutrality, it's distortion.
Definitely it is.
According to Opal Research in 2025, parents and younger voters, those with the most at stake, are nearly twice as likely to participate in the general election as primary. Why not wait 3 months? Get their vote. School referendums belong on the general ballot. That's where legitimacy is learned.
Okay, so you see what I mean? Like, the public is there. They're telling you. But they're at the Escambia County Commission meeting, and part of the problem is it's being asked of the Escambia County Commission, not the school board. What did the commission do? I'll tell you in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Good tease there. I like that.
well, it's 10 seconds.
Because I want to know.
Come on.
Okay. All right, no accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. I-10, I-110, 90, 98, 87, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I lied. 10 seconds plus this spot brought to you. if you need your next vehicle, or you've been putting off admitting that you need your next vehicle, which is, I know how it always is for me, Frontier Motors is there for you. They understand. They know you don't want to go shopping for a car. It's an unpleasant experience. It's an expense. You know, it's a time you're worried about making the wrong choice. And then, of course, you have the really unpleasant experience of dealing with used car salespeople, at least typically. Well, that's why you go to Frontier, because they get all of this and they want to make it easy. They want to make pricing simple. They want to make it easy to drive a bunch of different cars. They want to make it as low, you know, pressure, like no pressure at all. Just, hey, you know, here's what the price is. What do you think? You like it? What do you want to do? How can we help you? Oh, we don't have exactly what you want. Can we go looking for you? You know, you want something with higher miles at a lower price, lower miles, you're willing to pay more, you know, whatever. We'll warranty all of our cars to 100,000 miles in 10 years. No extra charge. That's built in because they only buy and sell you good quality used cars. And that's the point. They're trying to be the place you're willing to come back again and again because they treat you so well. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right. At the Escambia County Commission, you have the school board, Escambia School Board. And I don't want to say it that way. I want to say you have Kevin Adams, Paul Fetzko, and Tom Harrell, because David Williams and Carissa Burgosh voted against. So Kevin Adams, Paul Fetzko, and Tom Harrell are asking the county commission to put the return to an elected superintendent on the primary ballot, which will directly skew the participation in order to get them the end result they want of going to an elected superintendent, which I think is highly immoral, un-American, and anti-democratic. And the public has said so. So Luman, Commissioner Luman May, is asking Robert Bender, well, you know, what's the truth of this? He's the supervisor of elections. Do we have the power to move it to the general, or are we only able to do what they say, like a ministerial function where we don't really have input?
I almost called you Commissioner Bender, but Supervisor Bender. We don't have to send it back to the school board. We can make a decision whether or not it's on the primary or the general, correct? Oh, well, we have to send it back to workshop it.
I would defer to legal.
Oh, oh, that's good.
As a reminder, we had this discussion. We did send this back at one point to the school board. They reconsidered and have sent it back with a specific request that it be placed on the primary ballot. Your role in this is essentially ministerial, to put it on a ballot and direct that the superintendent, the supervisor of elections, place it on a ballot.
So you've asked them to reconsider. They've sent back to you their will 3-2 again to put it on the primary. And she says your role is ministerial, which means you're supposed to check mark. Even though you have to vote, you don't really have much power.
This board did have a discussion and directed that we request an attorney general's opinion about whether or not we had any authority to move it to the general election. That request was put in per your vote back in the fall. To the best of my knowledge, as of today, we have not received an opinion from the attorney general's office. We have checked.
When did we send it to the attorney general?
I didn't pull the exact date, but I believe it was in
October.
So he was too busy writing unasked-for opinions about other matters and mentioning Pensacola for the drag show and all the other stuff. And, he was too busy to do any of that, so we did not get an opinion about something that actually matters for Escambia County.
And we just didn't get a response back from the attorney general.
We did specifically reach out to the opinion section and informed them after we sent it to them that a drop dead would be the last day of March, because we were really trying to make sure we were protected in the event we were going to put this on the primary ballot. They said they would do their best, but we have not received any additional communications from them that I am aware of.
Now, that's real convenient.
Yeah, isn't that convenient? I agree. I mean, Escambia County is trying to do the right thing. They're trying. You know, the commission is trying to get sort of permission from the AG to move it to the general. Do we or don't we have this power? And the AG's failed to do the job, just didn't do their job.
My advice to you from a legal perspective would be to do as requested by the school board. Their counsel is present in the audience this evening if you wish to ask questions of her. But my advice to you would be, without an attorney general's opinion, you should proceed as requested by the school board.
Well, I mean, and I get that. I mean, that's your legal opinion, but that's not statutorily that we have to proceed by the recommendation by them. I mean, we requested something from the attorney general, and they didn't give us any reply, correct?
As of today, we have not received a request. I mean,
so there's nothing illegal, unethical or about not following the recommendation of the school board. Correct?
There's not a bright line rule that says you have to say yes. And he's saying, and if there's not a bright line rule, then we have the power to move it. And Allison is advising him not to. And she's saying, we don't have any discretion. I don't think we do. And so I'm recommending that you do what they are asking to be done. And Luman is going to go off. And I will tell you, there are not a lot of times when I agree with Luman May right down the line. I saw him the other night and I told him, this was one of those times. He's going to wind up being the 4-1 vote on this. He's right. Now, there's actually a very interesting question. This should have been done right by the three members of the school board who did it wrong, okay? Kevin Adams, Paul Fetsko, and Tom Harrell are responsible for this problem. They made the wrong choice. It should have been fixed by them and put on the general ballot. Now the Escambia County Commission is being asked to fix a problem made by the school board. Does the school board have the power to make the wrong choice of when to have this ballot? Now, I would say, because it is so wicked, the answer should be no, and I'd work to correct it at the county commission. But there is an argument to be made that this is their decision to mess up. And if they've messed it up, well, it's their decision to mess up. Take the political accountability against them at the school board level. And that's going to be the argument that Stephen Berry makes. And he's not wrong about that. There's a truth in that. So the question of what the county commission should do now that the three members of the school board have screwed this up so bad, that's a good question politically. But it's incredibly frustrating.
Let me be candid, and Linda, I hope that your voice is good. I always believe in the democracy of America. It gives opportunity for the most people to voice their vote. And so I appreciate the opinion of the attorney, and each of us have our own choice to do what we do. I certainly recognize that it was a 3-2 vote by the school board, and the representative of District 3 and obviously another representative wanted to bring to the general election, there's without a doubt that the most people will be in probably the most contested governor's race in November that in recent history. Property taxes will be there. We will have the most citizen participation in the general election, and it will not be in the primary election. And unfortunately, you know, that seems to be, you know, politically motivated to put it in the primary when we have the least amount of votes and votes
100%.
Who probably have the opinion of where this should go. And, you know, I've supported an appointed superintendent since his inception. So.
And he also says, I don't usually go against legal because we always lose, but I can't do this.
I'm certainly going to support, you know, and I typically don't go against legal advice, but I guess if we get one more lawsuit and we lose, we'll be fine. I'm certainly not going to support putting it on the primary. I support putting it on the general election. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And again, that's where I would be as well. Not because I care about the issue, but because I care about how democracy works deeply. And this is so wrong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't disagree with anything that any of the speakers said.
That's a great concession by Stephen Barry. The things that that Derek Scott and Craig Jones and Lily Eubanks are saying are completely right. I agree with them and what Lumen May has said.
Our venue, in my opinion, is not the venue where the argument really lied in this instance. I mean, the school board took the item up multiple times. I don't watch their meetings, but I'm told that there were speakers there. That would have really been the opportunity to advocate for the, you know, to advocate for your position and to you know, state the case. They're an elected body, the same as we are.
And he's not wrong about that. And he says one of the reasons he's voting for this is because he promised the District 5 representative Tom Harrell a year ago that he would do whatever they, which he shouldn't have made that promise. So, you know, I think it's weak sauce, okay, to say it's okay. But they did vote 4-1. They did put it on the primary. It's all over except for the voting the next time the school board is up for an election. Again, I like these guys generally. They do pretty well generally on a lot of issues. I agree with them. But I would vote against Kevin Adams, Paul Fetsko, and Tom Harrell for this one issue alone, period. Because when you do things to manipulate and undermine democracy, that's a bright line for me. That's it. That's maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think I'm, you know, too sensitive on this one thing. But this looks like ridiculous, abusive politics and I can't abide it when people engage in that kind of stuff. 625 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free and still rolling delay-free. I'm not seeing anything to slow you down. I-10, I-110, 90, 9 mile, 29, all look good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, it's not too late that the school board couldn't reverse and ask the county commission, you know, we changed our mind. And I would give them great credit if they did it.
The Santa Rosa County Youth Livestock Show is this Saturday, April 11th, beginning at 9 a.m. at the Santa Rosa County Fairgrounds, 8700 Randy Brown Road in East Milton. Blue-blooded hogs and cattle will be shown all day and auctioned at 6 p.m. Families with kids who want to show animals should come out. There will be bounce houses and barbecue for your kids, too. Brought to you by Santa Rosa Medical Center, Adams Homes, Cox Communications, and Pinelands Nursery. The Santa Rosa County Youth Livestock Show, feeding the future.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
Tickets for the third annual Night at the Museum Gala are on sale now for Friday night, May 8th, featuring special guest speaker, Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico. Table sponsorships are $1,400 all in, and individual tickets are $175, but you can save 20% at checkout with the promo code EARLYBIRD. Get tickets and all things Pensacola Navy Days at PensacolaNavyDays.org. Spend an evening of fine dining under the planes and support Pensacola Navy Days. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. You don't want rumors. You want confirmation. News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620. You want confirmation. Informative, local, dependable.
It is a matter of the law!
The law?
The law? What law? Where's the law, Drew?
Good morning, 7-6-14-38, 6-29 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Somebody just texted in, 100% agree with you, Andrew. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. This thing with the school board is amazing. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Iran's chief negotiator says peace talks with the United States are unreasonable while Israel continues attacking Lebanon. The U.S. says Israel's campaign in Lebanon was not included in the two-week ceasefire that was signed that's aiming to reopen the Strait of Hormuz to oil traffic.
Which is a trickle right now, right? There's some going through, but not the full 130
or so a day.
What I understood,
there were maybe two ships that were able to get through, and then they kind of closed it back down. I don't know if they've reopened it since then or not. I don't know.
They put up the gate, basically. No. What else you
that
got?
That whole situation's just bizarre.
It is.
Well, eligible men will be signed up for the draft automatically later this year, Andrew. The Selective Service System says starting in December, eligible men will be automatically registered into the draft. They're trying to streamline the previous process of self-registration. I'm kind of surprised
how
it took this long.
How will that happen? Yeah, I agreed. I'm like kind of surprised it takes this long, but I don't know how that will actually happen. You know, what's the database they're going to call from? How are they going to make sure that I have questions. You know,
yeah,
we'll see. I have
absolutely
questions. As the father of two, what you would call military age males, and one who's about to be, you know, I'm just sort of curious about this process.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The two-week ceasefire with Iran is already showing strain, with Israel launching its heaviest strikes yet on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon.
If Iran wants to let this negotiation fall apart in a conflict where they were getting hammered over Lebanon, which has nothing to do with them and which the United States never once said was part of the ceasefire, that's ultimately their choice. We think that would be dumb.
That's Vice President J.D. Vance, who's going to lead peace talks in Pakistan this weekend. Iranian state media reporting that Tehran has closed the Strait of Hormuz. Rex Huerman is headed to court to say he is the Gilgo Beach serial killer.
Rex Huerman stood in that courtroom and admitted that he is, in fact, the Gilgo Beach serial killer, pleading guilty to murdering eight women between 1993 and 2010 on Long Island, New York.
Fox's Brian Yannis. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Couple showers reported across the area. It is 61 degrees right now. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson up in just a few minutes. The American Magic High Performance Center in Pensacola will play a key role in the next America's Cup. American Magic has sold its AC-75 yacht and two AC-40 platforms to American Racing Challenger Team USA for its 38th America's Cup campaign in Naples, Italy next spring. American Magic Services will support the team's race boat and modifications and on-water testing right here in Pensacola. CEO Tyson Lamond says the program brings additional activity to the region and also reflects the growing momentum at their new performance facility. Santa Rosa County Commissioners taking a step this week towards putting that half-cent sales tax renewal on their ballot in November. They scheduled a public hearing for April 23rd. Now, the tax, which funds roads, stormwater, public safety, parks and recreation, expires at the end of the year. What the renewal looks like is still being debated, though. The Trust for Public Land is working with the county on ballot language that could add a more explicit conservation component. Some commissioners think that might help it pass. County Administrator Brad Baker from Tuesday's meeting.
I have been working with Trust for Public Land and Will Abinger. He has sent some preliminary wording over. I'll get that with the attorney and we'll review it, but he'll be back on for that meeting, and then there will be a public hearing, and we need to decide if the board is going to put it forward and then provide the ballot language needed to submit to the supervisor of elections.
And voters did reject an attempt to double that tax to a full cent in November of 2024. This time around, it would stay at a half cent. Ballot language is due to the supervisor of elections by early August. Well, Gulf Breeze officials are urging parents to talk to their kids about vehicle safety after students were caught on camera riding on the outside of moving vehicles. This was in the Shoreline Park parking lot. One student reportedly was filmed standing in the bed of a moving truck with his arms outstretched, while another was seen hood surfing on a sedan. City officials say the park connects several schools and sees constant foot traffic from middle and high school students. Officials are asking parents to talk to their kids and remind them that riding on the outside of a moving vehicle is not safe, and reckless behavior in parking lots can put everyone at risk. Well, state lawmakers won't be back in Tallahassee next week. House Speaker Daniel Perez and Senate President Ben Alberton announcing yesterday they aren't planning to call for a special session to set the budget just yet. Governor Ron DeSantis did order the session, but Alberton says more details need to be finalized before formal budget talks can begin. Lawmakers have until July 1st to set a budget. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 61. We've got cloudy skies. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Pensacola Little Theater. Get ready to laugh out loud with Junie B. Jones, the musical, from April 10th through the 12th. Tickets available at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com. Still rolling accident-free and delay-free. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. Not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up near 77 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 59. For Friday, sunny skies, high near 78. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Heading into Saturday, sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
We've got 61 degrees with cloudy skies in Pensacola, 61 also in Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton. Your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Oil prices are elevated this morning after Iran accused the U.S. and Israel of breaking the two-week ceasefire deal after Israel launched attacks in Lebanon. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $99 per barrel, Brent at 98. Treasury yields showed little movement this morning as investors prepared for several key data releases this week. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note was flat at 4.2872%. Meta has made a $21 billion commitment to AI cloud provider CoreWeave, adding to a prior arrangement of more than $14 billion. The new spending will run between 2027 and 2032 as Meta boosts its own AI infrastructure while also counting on CoreWeave, which runs out NVIDIA graphics chips. Futures remain slightly lower after the Dow's best day since April of last year following the ceasefire deal with Iran. On Wednesday, the Dow gained 1325, the NASDAQ up 617, the S&P 500 up 165. That's your money now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free, and you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
If your bathroom feels cramped, outdated, or hard to use, it's time for an upgrade. At Home Outlet, our stores are employee-owned by experts who help you create a bathroom that works for your space and your budget. From vanities with real storage to tubs, fixtures, and tile, we help you get the bathroom upgrade you deserve without overspending. You'll also find expert help for kitchens, flooring, and more. Home Outlet, bathrooms for everyone. Find your local Home Outlet online at homeoutlet.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
1, 2, 3, 4! Well, she was just 17. You know what I mean. And the way she looked was way beyond compare.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Dr. Seth Kaplan from Johns Hopkins University. He is coming to town next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, to talk with us about fragile neighborhoods as a part of CivicCon. I have all these great speakers that the P&J and Quint Studer through CivicCon bring in and been doing this for years and years, and he is our next up. Dr. Kaplan, Seth, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Nice to be talking with you.
Great to have you. So the overall theme is fragile neighborhoods. What are some of the big ideas or what are some of the main themes that you're going to be talking about?
I look at two big topics. Topic one, they're both about neighbors. So topic one is we have rising disconnection, isolation, and with that, mistrust, polarization, inability to come together to solve our problems. And a lot of that, from my perspective, is downstream from the decline in just us talking with each other and working with each other and knowing each other in our neighborhoods. So that whole thing of disconnection, that's one whole area. A second area is that we have great disadvantage, and you could also say advantage, based upon where you live. And so the idea that every neighborhood should be a flourishing neighborhood and should lift people up and not constrain them, this is a huge issue that affects a lot of people and really weakens our ability to empower everyone to get the kind of life that they want.
Wow, so interesting. So my first, like, when I put those two pieces together, this may not be the thing you think is the most important, but it's the thing that strikes me first is, you know, I live in a single-family detached. We're on a third of an acre, and we have neighbors who are, you know, 50 feet away from us, and we know them, and we say hi to them when we see them in the driveway, but we don't talk with them an awful lot, some a little bit more, some a little bit less. But generally speaking, we all kind of just go through our lives, and we ignore each other unless there's a problem. But I remember at times when I have lived in apartments, when I've lived in community houses, when I've lived in, you know, the dorms, I knew all my neighbors. We hung out. We talked. We were connected. Just sheer proximity of living causes what I like to call bumping into other people, which causes social connection and creates what I think you're talking about with that interactive network of people. Am I thinking about the right kinds of things that you're interested in?
Yes. Community. I live in a thriving neighborhood community, and that doesn't mean I have loads of friends. I have some friends, but I have hundreds of people I acknowledge, say hello to, and then when the time comes, I'm there for them, they're there for me, we're on the same WhatsApp group, we see each other at different organizations, we say hello to each other, we're in the coffee shop, and it's all very neighborhood-centered, and I would say that that helps me in a few ways. First of all, I simply feel more joyful and positive because I feel like I have this relational security blanket surrounding me. I mean, you just feel different when you walk down the street and you feel that I know who's behind these doors. I know if there was a need, I could go and I would immediately have help. But I would say on a more practical level, I could name dozens, literally dozens of times when something in our household or something in one of our immediate neighbors, there was a need and there was somebody to call. I'm thinking of the time my oldest daughter dropped her brother. And he was like a year and a half old, and his chin was bleeding. He dropped him on the cement in front of our house. He was only a few years older than him, coming out of the car. And we're panicking. What are we going to do? My wife picks him up and doesn't even speak to me. She just runs down the street. And I have no idea where she went. 40 minutes later, she comes back, and he's completely bandaged. Because she knew, and I know, who's the closest nurse or doctor. And somebody was three blocks away, and she just took off, ran down there, had him checked out, and came back, problem solved in 40 minutes. And if you didn't know your neighbors and you didn't know who was around, you'd have to go to urgent care. You'd have to be much more worried. And I can just talk about, like, literally dozens of examples where we cared for each other, helped each other, and problems were solved.
What it makes me think about too is the level of need that would make me feel comfortable going to my neighbor and asking for something, and also what you're saying is the level of knowledge of your neighbors as resources for you when you have a big family.
Both are very important.
You know who's there. Like the sugar. If I'm out of sugar, I can go to my neighbor and get sugar, but I probably won't because I don't want to inconvenience them and bother them. I'd probably just go to the store. But if it's a crisis, I could probably, you know, I can go to my neighbor and get help. But when my neighbors are my friends and there's a lot of them, just ask for sugar. It's no big deal. And I'm sure they would say yes and it wouldn't bother them. But that feeling of barrier between us, like this need isn't big enough for me to justify the inconvenience I'm putting on you.
I mean, totally. But I think it's more than that. I have a neighbor that knocks on the doors of people who live alone. I mean, it's the same neighbor who organized cleanup for the park. I have another neighbor that's on the board of whatever. I'm on the board of one local association. They're on the board of several associations. You know, you're doing lots of things. You're doing things like, I can recall a time my wife had to run out of town because her mother was ill. I needed help getting my kids places in the morning and the evenings. I had whatever meetings scheduled. And I had four different neighbors that I could just call upon. I mean, there's not an app for getting your kids into the carpool to school when you have to take them on a carpool to school, but there certainly are the neighbors you can call who can fill that void. And there's so many examples of that.
We're talking with Dr. Seth Kaplan from Johns Hopkins University. He's going to be in town for CivicCon next week talking about these issues and what we can do to make them better. Dr. Kaplan, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. It looks like everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Dr. Kaplan. You know, one of the things that you said, it's a lot of thoughts you've got me thinking about, and this is very, very interesting stuff to me, is when we don't have the rich network of knowing who people are, being connected with them, whether it's because of the structure of our community, whether it's because of the distance between the houses, whether because we're new to the area, or all the things that can be a cause of this, not a kind of poverty that we sometimes don't even recognize we're suffering from. And if we happen to have real poverty, like we happen to have real not enough of the basic things met, this compounds it because we don't even know the resources that might be available to us to help solve the problems that poverty creates, transportation problems, time problems, having enough of the stuff sort of things, or the water heater broke. And so, you know, all of the things that you might depend on a neighbor for, we're not able to solve with our neighbors. Am I thinking in the right way about all this?
I mean, the term I use, we have material poverty and we can also have social poverty.
Amen.
And you can be materially poor and socially rich. And you can be materially rich and socially poor, and they create different vulnerabilities. Now, I don't want to compare someone who doesn't have friends but a beautiful house with someone who's homeless, that's not a fair comparison. But it certainly is true that we are much more at risk and vulnerable when we're isolated. And I would just say the issues are compounded if you're in a disconnected neighborhood and the neighborhood itself isn't doing very well, and you're more likely to have your whole life constrained. And we talk about inequality in our country. For me, the greatest inequality is actually of place. Your neighborhood determines so much, especially for kids.
You know, it kind of one of the things that you said right at the beginning, I think you were talking about the idea that you might have wealth, for example, and that might allow you to live on your own and not need other people. But that creates the social poverty that you're talking about, and that creates a kind of unhappiness. Like, we're built to be social creatures, and people don't even realize that having that connection to other people is a part of basic human happiness that they're missing out on. And I love the point you make about poverty, that, you know, a lot of times people who are quite poor have a lot of good relationships and seem to do fine, you know, in life. It might seem like the kind of life you wouldn't want, maybe, if you're better off middle class, but the isolation the middle class is experiencing right now is real, is poignant, and causes health effects, causes all kinds of issues just because we don't have those connections.
I mean, it's totally true. I mean, we are generally taught to chase our dream and chase material wealth. Mm-hmm. We're not generally taught to look sideways and see who's around us and to think about our place. We tend to have been created in these days as placeless creatures, disconnected, placeless creatures, and that's not natural. And you look around the country, and materially the country is doing well, but people just are unhappy. They're dissatisfied. And I think there's many causes, but certainly one cause is there's less joy and happiness when you're doing everything alone. And see so much of that. And the question is, how do you have a balance? I'm not saying don't give up your career and your dreams, but a healthy person and a joyful person has a healthy balance.
So what can we do to fix it? Like, what can be done? Is it a matter of getting people to live closer to each other? Is it a matter of saying hi to people? Is it a matter of, you know, better interaction through events? I think of, like, Howard Putnam's Bowling Alone, all that kind of stuff. Like, what's the answer to making this better? CivicCon is about fixing the problems, right?
Well, totally. I mean, for me, again, I'm a neighborhoodist. So I look at this as very a place-based. There's certainly things you could do at the city level, and your city is not large, so you can certainly have an impact. But to the extent that each of us looked out of our doors, I think there's three things that each of us could do. The easiest thing is you simply, when you're out in front of your house and you're saying hi to your neighbors, well, why don't you go over and start a conversation? Why don't you look out your door? There's probably 6 or 8 doors that you can see on your side, the other side of the street. How many of those 6 to 8 houses do you know the people inside of them? What would it take to know them? If you were going to sit outside, why don't you sit in front of your house instead of the back? If you were going to build a playground for your kids, what would happen if you built it in the front instead of the back? So that would be the first thing. The second thing to do is, do you know at least a couple of people in your neighborhood? Might not be on your block, might be a couple of blocks away. Could you team up with 2 or 3 other people and do an event, a block party, or some local gathering, maybe around July 4th, maybe in the spring, maybe at Halloween, whatever it is, find a good time, cooperate with a few people, and be a little bit more ambitious. And I would say the third thing you can do is look for neighborhood-specific or very hyper-local institutions. It could be an association, it could be a charity, it could be a small business. Are the things that you can do with those local organizations to bring in more people or hold more neighborhoods, it could even be a library, do things that are more neighborhood specific and try to create positive momentum so things will build upon themselves.
So unfair. You're asking me to do all this work to make the world a better place for me and my neighbors, but I love it. I love all of this stuff. Dr. Seth Kaplan, he is from Johns Hopkins University. He'll be in town next Tuesday and Wednesday for CivicCon. I think the main event is at Consulate Wesley Hall at Wright and Palafox Tuesday night, 6 p.m. If you want more information, go to the Civicon Facebook page and find out more. Dr. Kaplan, I think what you're doing is really, really important. I'm glad you're getting people to think about this stuff and just to try to be better neighbors and to try to find ways to structure neighborhoods so that they are more effective so that we can be better humans and happier as it. Thank you so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
You too. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hear that? That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's, just for sleep. Really great sleep.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Hurricane season begins June 1st, but preparation starts now. Florida's severe weather season is underway, and the same steps that help you prepare for hurricanes, making a plan, gathering supplies, and staying informed, also help protect you during severe weather today. For simple step-by-step guidance, visit floridamakeaplan.com. One plan can help you prepare for many storms. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Luxuriously appointed.
Otherwise, I feel like I would have cut off the pleasure. 6:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru, still rolling accident-free, not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. 98, 90, Highway 29, 9 Mile, they all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much. John, if your child is struggling with math or maybe has been good at math but is now maybe struggling with it or is not enjoying it or whatever the problem might be, guess what? Those problems don't usually fix themselves. And it's often not really anybody's fault per se. Maybe the teacher didn't explain it in a way that they understood. Maybe the teacher speaks about these things a certain way that doesn't kind of match them. Oftentimes, as a parent, you feel like they're being taught math in a way that you didn't learn it, and so it's hard for you to bridge that communication gap with them. And there's all kinds of reasons, okay? The solution is go to Mathnasium. Our dear friends, Donna and Dana, own Mathnasium, and they run it, and they love kids. They love helping them with math. They're very good at it. My son taught there for a year, so we are big believers, not just in math education in general, but in what Mathnasium does specifically. And it's a completely free assessment to start. You just figure out what's going on. What tools, what conceptual grasp, what are they missing, and then how can we fix it? And they'll work out a plan with you. They're step-up providers, okay? So there's funding available for that, and they can work with your child, and you get 90% of their students see an improvement in school grades, 93% of parents report an improved attitude, 94% say the child's math skills and understanding go up. Get the help or get your child the help they need. And also sometimes for children who are good at math but want to be even better, like coaches helping them to improve their capability because more math, better school, better performance in life. Mathnasium located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Polls show that support for Israel is dropping in the U.S. New poll out from the Pew Research Center found that 60% of American adults have an unfavorable opinion now of Israel. That is up from 53% last year. The FBI saying that cryptocurrency scams drove the highest losses of all scams last year. The Bureau's annual report showing the Internet Crime Complaint Center received more than a million complaints overall last year, with losses around $21 billion. Crypto scams accounted for half of that. And, well, I don't know how much this is going to affect you, Andrew, but Amazon is ending support for Kindles that were made before 2012. Functionality is being cut off on May 20th. And apparently, if you've got one of these old Kindles, it will no longer connect to the Kindle store, and you can no longer download new content.
Well, okay, so if you know me at all, you know that I would never, ever own such a device because I'm a paper book person. You know, I'm a big believer in the physical book. But if I were to own a Kindle, how old would it be, John?
Oh, it'd be from 98 or something.
So
or maybe even
on the one hand, yeah. As a anti-new tech person, though I would not have one, if I did have one, it would most assuredly fall under this news story and be very, very old and falling out of support service. So
that would have been like 10 years ago.
That's right. Hold on while I get you my singular cellular phone that I still have. Oh, yeah. I got the old Nokia, the little silver one.
You that's, do?
Oh, yeah. It's my daily alarm.
The little
alarm.
Brick you could run over with your car and it'd still be okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay, and yeah, and I think it may not still even connect to 911, but, you know, it might still. But it definitely, that thing has been a beast. And I have had that for 30 years as my morning wake-up alarm. Every day I interact with that thing. The old, I don't even remember the name, but, you know, the one that's like 3 inches long, silver, mm-hmm. Not a flip phone, not a smartphone. It's got like the old snake game on it, mm-hmm. If you wanted to play a game. Yeah. At the pinnacle of entertainment technology. That's me, baby, cutting edge. School board, what are they doing horribly wrong now? I'll tell you, coming up in just a moment.
Local news every hour and breaking news.